This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the inaugural first episode of the Comedy Store Wrestling Podcast. I am Eddie Torres. I'm sure you've never heard of me, but I host a popular podcast called the RRBG Podcast. I'm a beer guy. The RRBG stands for the Rock and Roll Beer Guy. I have a beer right here with me. And I also have my co-host, Earl Skakel. How you doing, brother?
I'm excited. This is really great to combine our loves of comedy, Comedy Store, and pro wrestling, and the absurdity of all three jammed in 1 hour or a little over an hour.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So for the people that are watching and listening at home, my background in terms of pro wrestling, I started watching when I was a little kid, you know, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior and all that. I even got to meet Hulk Hogan and Macho Man once a long time ago at a yacht party. I was like a little kid and he shook my hand. It was the size of my hand was like a peanut in their hands. But it was awesome to meet them and see these larger than life people. I kind of fell off after Stone Cold retired. That was like my guy. Stone Cold was my guy. Stone Cold, if you're watching, you know, you're invited, open invitation.
He's blocked me on Twitter, so I don't think Mr. Austin will be coming. But you can settle the... Well, I don't even know what the beef is, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. We'll get him in here. But, you know, I fell off during the Stone Cold time. I missed the whole Shield thing. I missed John Cena's main run. I missed Daniel Bryan's WWE run. I missed all of that. I came back probably like around 2012. My buddies kept bugging me like, you gotta watch, and started kind of watching. And then what really did it was I went to a local indie show.
Okay.
And it kind of just blew my mind. It felt like punk rock.
Right.
You know, it felt like everybody was standing, fucking banging on the canvas, and people were flying, and, you know, $5 beers. I was like, this is amazing. And that kind of got me right back into the cycle of watching everything. So now I watch everything. I watch all Raw, SmackDown. I watch AEW's Dynamite and Rampage. I watch GCW stuff. I watch New Japan stuff. As you can see, I'm wearing my New Japan shirt. But that's my background with pro wrestling. And Earl, how did you get into pro wrestling?
Well, my background, since I'm, I'll guess, 10 years older than you, if not more, was rooted in the 70s. You know, I started watching the Guerrero brothers, you know, and I think the main bad guy was Moondog Maine, who was like a miniature John Studd. And then, you know, the 80s came in, and really what I think, and I sound like my parents talking about Elvis, I really think the 80s were the glory days of wrestling because there was no internet. So you really thought it was real. Like, you thought Kamala, the Ugandan giant, was from Kamala, or was from Uganda.
Right.
You know, not, you know, Tupelo, Mississippi. Same difference. Or, you know, Abdullah the Butcher, yeah. This wild man from the Sudan. I really thought he was from the Sudan. Turns out his name is Larry, and he's from Ontario. And then, you know, the glory days of Hulk Hogan and then the Ultimate Warrior. And I think, like most people my age, I fell off for the first time, say, between 92 and 96-ish, just because the, you know, Hogan had kind of run its course. You know, Ric Flair was, you know, getting older a little bit. And the storylines just, you know, they'd been done to death. And then, of course, the NWO, WCW got me back into it because it was such a well-done storyline, and I find what's lacking today, at least in WWE, is the build-up. You know, the NWO was like a three-month build to who the mystery partner was, and then, you know, it came known at the Bash at the Beach, it was Hogan, and it was like, that's wrestling 9/11. Like, the day Hogan turned heel was,
oh, yeah,
like,
that was devastating. I remember that.
If you see that clip of when he comes out and does the drop kick on Savage the first time, it was like the first plane hitting the tower. Like, there's a guy in the front crying. but even then, that got a little drawn out, and, you know, Warrior came in, and I got all excited, and then that match was so bad and so rushed, and it was clearly Hogan just wanting to get revenge for the pen, that I fell off again in the early 2000s. And then, you know, I went to a few XPW shows.
Nice.
Which is, it's hard to explain to people what XPW was, even though Dark Side of the Ring did a good synopsis of it. But it was like ECW with no money and less planning. And then I fell off again. So, and recently Sting coming back got me back into it.
You're wearing a Bay Bay shirt.
I'm wearing my Adam Cole Bay Bay shirt.
Most over guy in the business, I think, right now.
He's amazing.
It's insane.
But because I don't watch WWE or NXT, I had no idea who he was.
Ah, okay, okay.
And really the last thing I got really back into it when I did Roddy Piper's podcast. I was like the co-host until Roddy passed, and then I'm up and down.
Royalty right here.
Not really. I'm just a ham and egger, as Bobby Heenan would say.
Hey, man, anybody that was able to co-host a podcast with Roddy Piper, who is a Comedy Store legend, is, you know, that's huge, man. And I'm honored to be sitting next to you and doing this. I think that we're going to have a good time with this show. We have a good show planned for you. We got the War Master, Josh Barnett, is here for episode one. He's going to be talking about Bloodsport. He's got that coming up. We also got a segment called The Outsiders, where we're bringing in someone who's not a pro wrestling fan and show them some cool clips, see if we can maybe turn them into a wrestling fan or a wrestling mark. And we'll also talk about what's going on. I mean, right here we have in front of us, coming up this Saturday or a week from Saturday, is Elimination Chamber from WWE, which is the toilet pay-per-view, I like to call it. I mean, the Elimination Chamber sounds like toilets, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I just keep thinking, okay, how big is Mark Henry's doo-doo?
Yeah, well, you have to have six chambers or five chambers. I forget how many chambers the actual ring has at that event. But let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about the Elimination Chamber. I mean, there's a couple matches. I know you don't really watch WWE, but just guess.
I've tried.
You've tried. The main event is Bobby Lashley, who's the current WWE champion, versus Brock Lesnar, versus Seth Rollins, versus Austin Theory, versus Matt Riddle, his name is just Riddle now, and AJ Styles.
By the way, can I? This is not going to answer your question, but I watched the opening segment last night of Monday Night Raw, and wow, you could see the pain in Randy Orton's eyes of like, what am I doing here?
He made a really good stoner joke in Denver, though. They did a segment where he was, you know, they asked a question. It was some stupid quiz thing they were doing, but they asked the question, how many grams are in an ounce? And Riddle, who's a known stoner, I mean, that's his gimmick, was like, well, he's like, wait, you think you're the only one that bakes? I know exactly how many grams are in an ounce.
I mean, I'll guess, I mean, see I'm an AJ Styles guy. He's not going to win.
He's not going to win. Even though he's on a good push, but it already set it up on Raw that he's going to go for the United States title. He just pinned the current champ, Damian Priest, so I think that he's not winning for sure.
But I think because Vince still is a bigger is better type of mindset, and, you know, it goes back to when I watch, you know, Hogan, Sid Vicious, The Undertaker.
Oh, he's a body guy, yeah.
So that's why I feel really bad for AJ Styles, because talent-wise, he's the best guy in that.
Well, he's like Shawn Michaels, kind of, you know, the smaller guy, you know.
But, Lashley, you might differ than my opinion on Lashley. He just doesn't have that it factor for me. Great body, pretty good in the ring, but he's horrible on the mic.
Oh, he is. But that's why he's got MVP with him, you know?
I get it. Yeah. I just, Seth Rollins, they've kind of almost given him the Bray Wyatt Barry treatment. Like, I get the feeling they're like, what do we do with him?
Yeah. He's kind of like the Joker now. I feel it's like, I mean, he even said it himself. He's like, my current gimmick is midlife crisis Joker. So, I mean, I don't really know what that means in terms of pro wrestling or what they're going to do with him. But I enjoyed their match at the Rumble.
Right.
He had his match with Roman Reigns. He came out in the Shield outfit and everybody popped. It was great. But, I like Bobby. He's doing okay. You know, he's big, you know, and crazy looking when he gets all aggressive. But, I don't know. So who do you think
Vince? I'll go with Lesnar just because I think that's Vince's way of sticking it to the marks, because I don't think Lesnar is popular with wrestling fans because he's like the hardcore, like people like us, he's seen as a part-time wrestler. He comes in, he comes out. You know, you throw him in there against Reigns for the 4,000th time. But I think Vince loves giving him the win, so it drives fans crazy. So I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar.
All right. That's actually the rumors online. Everybody's like, oh, they want Brock to win to be champ versus champ at WrestleMania versus, it'll be Brock and Roman again. I actually think Roman's going to come out and fuck this up for Brock to put more heat on Roman
okay.
for their eventual rematch. And I think Bobby keeps it. Either Bobby keeps it or Rollins, but I think Bobby keeps it, and they just they make Roman mess it up for Brock to kind of, you know, like I said, bring more heat on him.
I mean, that's good storytelling, you know, to give the WrestleMania match like a, oh, let's watch. But I just, I don't know about you, and, you know, I'm certainly not as familiar with the WWE product, but I'm sick of Reigns and Lesnar. It's just, it's the same match, power move, power move, power move.
Yeah.
And they're both great athletes. Reigns has never done it for me. I'm sure he's a great guy. It's not personal. He kind of reminds me of a Samoan version of Lance Storm. Like he's like he's great, but it's just like he doesn't have that it factor. Like Lesnar has it just because of his sheer size.
Sure, yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm actually a recent convert to Roman Reigns. I've never liked him before, and I'm going to get heat for this. You know, when he was out with leukemia, I actually got sad when he came back. I was like, oh, man. You know, he survived. Like, fuck.
Damn it.
You know, and that's rough. I'm not serious. But, you know, I wasn't a fan at all. But then he came back with Paul Heyman and that whole thing. He started leaning into his bloodline stuff and kind of just being more himself. And I was like, all right, this I can buy. And I've actually been into the whole Brock and Roman only because of Heyman. I feel like that little back and forth that they have with Heyman, and like, it's just like, I like that custody of Paul Heyman gimmick that they're pulling right now.
See, to me, Heyman's shtick is just old. And I love him, ECW. He's a legend, probably the greatest heel manager of all time.
Yeah, but you're old.
I know I am. Like, but, you know, I just don't. So much of the WWE's product to me is just tired.
Yeah.
And I understand that's why they bring in NXT guys, to, you know, but I just. With so much of the storylines devoted to Lesnar, Heyman.
That's the only storyline. That's the only real storyline that they got going through multiple pay-per-views. Everybody else is just kind of blah, in like a pot. You know what I mean? So speaking of that pot, then to move on, Becky Lynch versus Lita. Lita's back.
She's great. I mean, listen, the Hardys, Edge, that's the era of Lita that I loved.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's a... I'm going to go with Becky Lynch because I think it's a mistake to put give Lita the win because she's literally a part-timer right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know she's a part-timer. Like,
I think it's just an appearance. Yeah.
So I think any time, you know, it's like when you put Goldberg over a younger guy, it's like, well, this is not helping that younger guy. Not that Becky Lynch is young, but, like, she's current.
Yeah.
So unless there's some wacky curve with another angle about to start, I'm going to go with Becky Lynch.
All right. Yeah, me too. I don't think Lita wins. It's, you know, she's just there to put over Becky as the new top redhead, I think.
Right.
Yeah. The Usos, Viking Raiders. I mean, I don't care about this.
I mean, I'll assume, I don't either, to be honest with you. I'll assume the Usos will win to keep Reigns kind of elevated. I think if they lose, and that kind of lessens his heat or his... push that he's getting.
Yeah, they need the bloodline. They need the whole. Everybody needs to have the belts, and it needs to be all together. Yeah, unless they plan on making Roman drop the belt to Goldberg, which is next on the list.
Well, like I just said, I mean, I love Goldberg. I mean, I was there for every win in the streak, from, you know, Hugh Morris to Hulk Hogan in the Georgia Dome. He's now in my opinion, he should be a glorified enhancement talent. He puts guys over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that Goldberg, they say, is a lot like Warrior. He's not into wrestling because he likes it. He's in it for the paycheck.
Yeah.
So I can't see him saying, okay, I'll put people over. But I think it benefits everyone except Goldberg if Reigns wins.
Sure.
I'm going to go Reigns.
Reigns. You know, I want to go Reigns because obviously they're doing this whole thing, but... I've been burned before. Goldberg pinned Bray Wyatt and took the Universal title from him, which I was not expecting at all. And it happened. So who knows? Vince is crazy. So he might do it.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Vince, what is he, in his mid-70s? He's got...
dementia. And
no, well, he probably does. I mean, to be honest with you, there's no more Shane. If you don't believe
if
that's
it's not
a work.
Yeah, yeah.
Triple H's involvement is said to be minimal. You know, Goldberg winning, I wouldn't be blown out of the water because that's I think Vince likes to surprise the actual fans like you and me. So,
yeah.
I mean, Reigns should win, but, you know, with Vince and his
kooky ways.
Whatever state of mind.
This thing is also in Saudi Arabia, so you got to keep that in mind.
Which is where the horrendous Goldberg Undertaker match happened.
I can't believe it's happening.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I love both, but.
The Drew McIntyre, Madcap Moss, I really don't care. I think Drew wins. There's no reason to put Madcap Moss over at all, over Drew McIntyre, but.
Yeah, I mean, I go with Drew McIntyre. You know, it's hard when you're analyzing these matches to go, well, this is what makes sense. Because we're talking about pro wrestling.
And Vince is pro wrestling.
But, you know, I would think we could go hundreds of matches that so-and-so should have won, but they didn't. You know, merchandise-wise, it makes sense to keep McIntyre elevated, sell his shirts. Because if he loses, the kids are going to move on to the next. Well, I don't want his shirt anymore. He just lost.
Right. And then finally, we got the women's Elimination Chamber match with Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Doudrop, Nikki A.S.H., and a to-be-announced person who is rumored to be Asuka. Man, I really, you know, I want it to be Bianca. I think she's a star. I want it to be Rhea. I think she's a star. I'm going to go with the TBA, which is probably Asuka. Whoever that is probably going to be the one who wins.
I mean, I'm going to draw some heat on this comment because I love Charlotte Flair, great moolah. You know, I just don't like women's wrestling. And they're very talented. You know, Lita, the talent level they have is great, but it's like watching the WNBA to me. It's just, it ain't the men's. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. Awesome Kong put on some of my favorite matches. And then Dr. Britt Baker in AEW, like
killing it.
And Thunder Rosa. Like that was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. So they can impress, but I don't care. I'll go with Asuka if she's the TBA. If not, it'll just be a gangbang.
Yeah, it's, you know, and to defend your point of view, like my wife doesn't really watch pro wrestling, but she sits with me sometimes. And even she's expressed that she doesn't really care about the women's matches because there is no buildup. They don't really do stories with them. It's just kind of a mishmash. They just put all the women together in one match all the time in WWE. AEW does a better job with that. But, you know, you're not far off. The women's matches just don't put effort in the writing or any kind of the, you know, progress with it.
So. But I will say this. I watched almost the full women's Rumble, and that was great storytelling from the standpoint of the surprises. Like, oh, my God, Molly Holly's back. Oh, my God, Lita came out. Like, I got that old school Rumble feeling of, you know, John Cena coming in at 30. The men's Rumble was a complete cluster, you know what.
Yeah, that was rough.
I will say I thought the women's Rumble was much better than the men's. Okay. So I'm wrong. I just, like you said, they don't build it up, so I don't care.
Right, yeah. All right, well, that'll do it for the toilet pay-per-view. Let's talk, you know, we're not going to go over all the AEW stuff, but they have been teasing that they're going to bring in this huge free agent signing. We don't really know who it is. There's rumors that it's Jeff Hardy. There's rumors that it's Samoa Joe. It's not going to be Jeff Hardy because Jeff Hardy is still under his 90-day non-compete. So, we got Samoa Joe, Killer Cross, Keith Lee, Bray Wyatt. Who do you think is the signing?
Well, here's the thing. I would think I want it to be Bray Wyatt, but I think they would be very smart to save that for their next pay-per-view, kind of like they did Adam Cole and Daniel Bryant, okay. Or Bryan Danielson, which was probably my favorite debut of anyone because it was a double debut, and I don't think I've ever seen that before. You know, they fell a little flat with their last debut of Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
I love Jay Lethal. The black Ric Flair thing was hilarious.
Black machismo, too. He did the macho
Man. Right. he's like a Norman Smiley of this generation, my buddy from the Beverly Center. But it was a real letdown when it was like he was their big shock.
So I
love Samoa Joe. And he can wrestle again. Keith Lee, I think, would be interesting. The problem with AEW right now, in my opinion, and I'm basically the AEW correspondent.
Yeah.
Because I was honest. I don't watch WWE product that much. I just find it awful. There's not a lot of big men for Keith Lee to play with. Like, there's Jake Hager.
Wardlow.
were those, I do love the storyline they're giving him. Like,
yeah, it's been good.
Is he going to turn on MJF? Or, yeah. Sting, I'm assuming, would not be in the ring with a newer,
not Keith
guy.
Lee, no. Keith Lee will toss him and break him in half in 2 seconds. So.
And it just wouldn't look believable, no. Sting beating up this huge guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who else is there that's not on this list? I mean,
WWE's gotten rid of almost everyone, so.
And Tony Khan is really amped up that this is a big signing.
This is a big one. Yeah.
He didn't necessarily do that with the Jay Lethal signing or even the Christian signing. Mm-hmm. I'll go with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I'm actually leaning into Samoa Joe as well. I think he'll come out with William Regal.
That would be huge. Or I tell you, and this goes to what we were talking about, what makes sense, if it's not a work, and maybe they don't do it all tomorrow night, like shoot their wad like they did with Cole and Danielson, Shane McMahon.
Yeah, I mean, considering the backstage heat he got at Rumble for trying to book the entire thing about him and trying to put him, I think he said he wanted to outstrike Matt Riddle. That was one of the things he wanted to write into the Rumble match. He was like, I want to outstrike Matt Riddle. It's like, no, that's a legitimate MMA fighter. You can't do that.
Well, that to me was what ruined AJ Styles forever in WWE, no matter what they do with him in the future. Is it was about 3 or 4 WrestleManias ago. And
they curtained, yeah, it was the opening match.
He's out wrestling AJ Styles. Yeah. Like, I get it. It's his company or yeah. His dad's, but he's the heir apparent. Or maybe he's not.
No, he got fired, supposedly. We'll see.
Well, if it's not a work, I'm telling you, the internet would break if he walked out there.
Absolutely.
With, say, Braun Strowman. Who is a possibility?
Well, him and EC3 have a thing going on. They have free your narrative or whatever it is. But, yeah, Braun Strowman and him would be interesting.
You do an NWO-style angle. Not, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, but, you know, that would be huge.
Yeah, and you see the internet marks are like, oh, you know, no one's going to pop for Shane. I'm like, are you crazy? Everyone would pop for Shane if he shows up in AEW.
And I tell you, his first match, I'm telling you right now, I've already booked it. And it's just a short program, and this is why WWE, AEW, they should hire some fans as writers because we know what the fans want. You have Sting come out and go, after how you guys treated me, I want your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Just a short program, one-off match, and then you have him, you know, go off into other, you know, MJF or, you know, whoever. But it's probably not going to be Shane. But
no.
It just popped into my head the other night. My God.
It would be huge.
What if it's him? Because Tony Khan's got more money than Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
So he could say, hey, man, you want to... Because, you know, all us, I don't know why I say this, I'll assume Shane and Vince have a cantankerous relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
And that would be the ultimate F you to dad. I'm going to go to the competition.
Oh, yeah. And we can relive those glory days of when he showed up on Nitro.
Do we not all remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Sting and Ric Flair, and then he shows up, and it's like, oh, my God, this is real.
Yeah. Well, that'll about do it for the recap of what's going on with pro wrestling right now. Stick around. We got Josh Barnett, the War Master, and we got the Outsiders with Jetski Johnson coming up. You want to, before we get into the crazy, all the things, you want to plug what you got going on?
Yes. After you listen to this podcast, feel free to check out the Inappropriate Earl podcast. Roddy Piper's been on it. Chavo Guerrero. Virgil, the whole hour and a half, talked about how big his dick is. And then I, real simple on social media, I'm the same handle, even on TikTok, at Earl Skakel, EarlSkakel.
Excellent. And you can find me at RRBG Podcast. I have a podcast where I talk to people as well. I've had some pro wrestlers on there. Josh Barnett, who's here tonight. I've had Chris Dickinson. I've had Jeff Cobb. I Rocky Romero. I mean, a lot of the New Japan guys. I'm a big New Japan mark, as you can see. But yeah, at RRBG Podcast. I also talked to a bunch of musicians and all kinds of comedians. And also, if you can, check out. Boom. Go to knotfestbeerpit.com, order yourself a box of beer that I personally selected. They'll ship it straight to your house. I have one of them here. This is a Municipal Waste and Cosmic Eye Lager. I'm going to drink it, and have a good time. But yes, go get yourself one of these. And also, a quick shout out to Gino from Speedweed for hooking us up with this awesome book of heels history. We might use this as a segment down the road. We'll read like a little story of one of these heels. I don't know, there's your boy Roddy Piper.
Yes, so many great heels. Yeah, I mean, man. It's not just WWF heels, you know, Sergeant Slaughter when he turned Iraqi sympathizer, but even in like World Class Championship Wrestling, you know, Colonel De Beers and so many, you know, there's so many great classic heels that the mainstream fans don't know about because they didn't either get, you know, the regional promotions just weren't on TV and like ESPN2 came along and so this is a great book. Thank you, Gino.
And yeah, for you guys that are watching at home, just make sure you follow at Comedy Store Records for now. We'll eventually get our own socials, I believe, and we'll post up updates of what's going on in wrestling and everything. But please follow at Comedy Store Records to stay in touch with everything that we're doing. Stick around. We got Josh Barnett, the War Master. What's up, everyone? We're here with the War Master, Josh Barnett. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Good, good. Good to hear it. I'm excited to have you here on our first ever episode of the Comedy Store Wrestling Podcast.
It's nice to be here. You're Earl Skakel. We go way back. If I'm the War Master, he's like the playground excursion, you know, third place.
But you and I are very similar. Like
we have a lot in common, yeah.
We both have big heads.
Huge, massive melons, decent-sized schnozzes. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, very
we're
punchable.
Outspoken.
We wear leather.
Oh, absolutely. We like Iron Maiden.
Yes, we do.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but I bought one of your Affliction shirts on your website that I still have.
Fantastic.
I just can't wear it out in public.
Well, you could. You could, as long as you have the right embroidered jeans to go with it to really, you know, make it pop.
Well, I was at a gym once, and I had a Fedor shirt on,
mm-hmm.
and I had this gigantic man.
Was it a like a multicolored striped sweater?
No, it was that the Russian eagle on it, and like the yeah. Cyrillic.
So every time you take your jacket off, it's like, da, da, da.
Yeah.
Like, oh, crap. It's like Ivan Drago's going to burst out of my chest.
And this huge guy said, what's your specialty? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like,
prostate massage?
Well, that is. That's what's happening right after this podcast.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm just a fan.
Is that covered by a PPO?
At the Comedy Store, it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We started the Me Too movement here.
It's been really successful. You should be pretty proud of that.
I'm just waiting for
wide-reaching.
Well, I'm sure you've seen Me Too
spread
stuff.
Spread everywhere.
Oh, especially in that seat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
A lot of spreading.
Mm-hmm. So the guy told me to take my shirt off since I don't do MMA, because
mm-hmm.
I don't.
Okay.
And he was wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers shirt on. I'm like, I didn't see you in the huddle.
Yeah. Well, Josh, you've got Bloodsport 8 coming up.
Yes, Bloodsport 8. Not a cheesy straight-to-video horror film, but in fact, the hardest-hitting event in professional wrestling. And if you got any sort of doubts about that, one, watch one of the shows. Two, come up to some of the wrestlers and say otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like I like to poke around with the world of professional wrestling at times, and you know it's an absurd place, good and bad, and every now and again you'll see one of those, you know those really it's like Earl Skakel at 22, liquored up, jumping over the railing, trying to get in there and tell that guy you know how to do his job, and then see what happens. Well. The one thing I like to remark is that you don't ever see that at a Bloodsport show, and there's a good reason for it.
I mean, I've got a good body for an MMA fighter, right? Long arms, big head.
Yeah. Well, the big head's, you
kind
know,
of a target.
But the long arms help. So maybe the head's sort of like the – it's like the anglerfish. You're pulling them in with your big old glowing, dangling head, and then you're socking them as they're coming in. And you can sink your really iridescent – sharp teeth in them?
You lost me with iridescent. It's a wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
They say I'm like a Jewish Bigfoot Silva with this head.
Oh.
Bigfoot Goldstein?
Whatever. Goldberg?
Goldberg.
Yeah, that's right. I have seen my man Goldberg with a yarmulke on before.
Oh.
It's a big yarmulke. Probably look like a street cover.
It's basically just an old manhole cover, yeah, because keep his trap strong.
Hey man, he's back in the picture. I know he's doing.
He's dope, man. He's doing the Universal thing. I mean, we could riff on Bill, but the total reality of it is that Bill is essentially family for me. Like, the guy has been nothing but the kindest, most givingest. I know his family intimately well, and he knows mine. So it is for me, just like, I'm always just super. He's like the kind of guy that I go, yeah, that dude's rad, and I'm glad I'm friends with him because he's a rad guy. Like, he's just, him and his whole family are so sweet. And his kid's a total monster.
Yeah. I mean, that's what won me over, dude. When I saw him come back and he was like, I'm doing this for my kid. And like, fuck yeah. I'm in.
I mean, I wish it was in AEW because I just can't get into the WWE product. I've tried.
Yeah, I get it. You know, wrestling, they say wrestling is for everyone, and yet wrestling isn't really for everyone because not all aspect of wrestling is going to necessarily connect with you, you know? Right. And it could be a promotion level thing. It could be just specific segments, storylines, or individual wrestlers themselves. You know, it was kind of cool during the Monday Night Wars to swap between the two. Mm. But I think that at the end of the day, the best way truly to get into wrestling is when you can find a product that lines up in all ways with what you're into, that has the wrestlers that you want to see and has storylines that keep you engrossed. And there's that level of attachment and interest that's really sincere. And you're not just a loyalty brand person, but like what they're doing at the time is really that good. And there were times in wrestling where I felt like that was the case. Like, there was nothing that was more interesting to me than like seeing what the stories around the Road Warriors were at times. Right. Or the time when the Road Warriors attacked Dusty Rhodes and took the spike to his eye. Like, that blew my mind. That was some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, because that's right when the internet wasn't fully ruining the storylines.
No, I think it was just still in the military at that point, just to, like, figure out where to find, I don't know, Sandinistas and shoot them.
Right, that's a valid
or give them weapons. I don't know which it was.
Yeah. Yeah, the internet killed it, man. They killed kayfabe and killed the stories. And I mean, that's not an issue with Bloodsport, because I mean, I know you keep the Warriors in the back. You don't want them out there selling.
That's
merch.
Right. We run a far more traditional style event. We really don't want anybody to be pulled out of that suspension of disbelief. But also, you know, the guys are there to perform and not hawk merch, not do gimmicks, they're there to wrestle. And I know that there's going to be plenty of other places for them to do things as rote in the industry at the moment. It's fine, you know, and I want everyone to succeed. But when it comes to my show, I really want them and the show itself to be the marquee. So each individual match, each wrestler within those matches, I want them to be able to shine as much as possible. I want the crowd to be able to really get to feel like they're getting a real personal and intense look at who these people are. Mm. And I feel like that's just the best way to do it and to keep some mystery alive. And I know part of what killed kayfabe also is that we all want to know. We all want to get behind the curtain on all these things. People want to get behind the curtain on comedy. People want to get behind the curtain, especially on magic. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. And pro wrestling, magic and comedy all actually share some similarities to each other. They also have some shared history where from the carnival circuits and vaudeville and things of that nature, the traveling shows, they've all got interrelated aspects through the growth of these things. But those things were all kept out of the public purview because, you know, you want to allow the magic, especially in the realm of magic and in professional wrestling, to flourish. Because if you know how the trick is done all the time, it starts to lose its wonder.
That's what I was going to say. People think they want to see behind the scenes, but then once they get there, it's like, oh.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've been behind the scenes for Earl's, where Earl gets a lot of his material. It's a weird place, guys. It requires
MMA.
Everything. Yeah, everything when he's up on stage, it could be what is it, that karaoke thing with Don Paris?
You know.
It could be just it could be roast battle, could be anything.
I don't know what roast battle is.
It's a deep, dark place. If you're not willing to go there, you're not willing to be in Earl Skakel territory, let me tell you.
Listen,
it is a rough road.
It is.
And I'm telling you, you ain't got the tires for it. You ain't built for it. Ain't no tank treads you can get a hold of that'll be able to take you down that jagged, ragged, desolate place that is called Earl Skakel.
I'm hard as a rock right now.
I've seen the table lift. All right. Just a little.
Well, I feel like the warrior, you know.
Well, you know, you don't have any foreskin, so it's freer to get.
No, I got it all.
You're like, forget it. You smacked the rabbi around, took his.
Nothing.
Spilled the Manischewitz, and you're like, the hell with you. Get away from it.
No knife was. I'm no Bob Sapp, but I mean, I got it. I mean, that guy just looks like. I know this is off topic. Bob Saget. Bob Sapp's dick is not on this sheet.
Hey,
but
Bob Saget would love it if you'd talk about his dick right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm assuming you've seen Bob Sapp's.
I've seen his dick, not necessarily at full attention in the middle of some sort of excursion, but I know the general gist and shape of it.
I mean, is it as impressive as I think it is?
I mean, it's pretty good at math. Had a high SAT. Very entrepreneurial, headstrong at times, though. Jeez. To his deficit, to be honest.
Yeah.
Now I have a serious question.
Bites off more than it can chew often.
I bet. Jesus.
Wait. Before we move away from dicks, I was just.
Oh, we can keep talking about
this. you've hit a specialty right now.
Yeah.
you just landed in that sweet spot.
Someone showed me the clip. I've seen it a million times. Stone Cold Booker T in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
But someone pointed out that there's a part near the end where Booker T's dick flops out of his pants. And Stone Cold just panics and grabs a case of Budweiser and puts it on his dick. I'd never realized it. And that clip is still on the WWE website.
And they say wrestling's not good anymore.
I know, right?
All right, go ahead with that.
Well, no, I was watching. My serious question to you is, like, you as a serious former UFC heavyweight champ.
Yes. Choose your words carefully.
Well, we don't have to talk about Dana White. It's out of control.
I just meant when you started off with serious, and I was like, shit.
Well, no, I mean, it's I don't know how to phrase it, because I was watching when AEW brought in Dos Santos and Orlovsky.
Yeah.
And Orlovsky, I think, nearly killed Jericho
with
a knee.
Yep.
And then Dos Santos.
So, Andre, please, you know, I'm going to come over here and hit you with this here gimmick right here. Ain't gonna hurt you much. Just, you know, come in there and just the wham and just
yeah, that's pretty much
I did light.
And then Dos Santos, I can't call him Jake Hager, even though I know it's his real name. He's Jack Swagger to me.
Uh-huh.
He was having trouble holding, not hitting him completely, because he had to pull up in his punches. Is it hard for legit MMA fighters or boxers to compete in pro wrestling when they you know,
I mean, when they're not good pro wrestlers, then yes, you're right. I mean, nothing against like Dos Santos and Andre, who I have zero issues with. They're good dudes. But it's a technique, right? So as much as Andre had to learn how to throw that flying knee and Dos Santos had to learn how to use his jab effectively, these things all take time and training. And to just think you can just go out there and just pull a punch, I mean, sure you could, but then everybody else is going to look and be like, oh, that's cool with your fake punches. You know, there's a way about doing it. And, you know, not everybody can be Jerry Lawler out there, but you can. It's like I tell people, look, too hard is better than too soft. Just apologize later.
Right.
Well, when you did that chop to at the Comedy Store.
Scordis?
That
was real.
Sounded like it hurt.
I was trying to get his pepperoni nipples to fly right off. On to land into somebody's chicken strips.
I saw him last week. I told him to come on in and have you chop him one more time on camera for the show.
I rubbed it out with some of that CBD goodness.
Like you hold up at the last second, like when you're hurting someone like Johnny or maybe like in a David Arquette type, or do you just say, hey, dude?
No, that's what they signed up for.
Yeah, you want a chop, you're going to get a chop, dude.
Yeah. I had to go through it. Look, I had a chop initiation over in New Japan Pro Wrestling on the road, and I think it was Mike Barton that got it going. Might have been him or Christopher Daniels, I'm not sure, but there was this conversation about chops, and I'm like, oh, man, they suck. And they're like, oh, yeah, you bust your chest open, all this kind of stuff. Like, oh, really, man? So they basically lined up, and they're like, all right, we're gonna everybody's going to chop him who's going to wrestle him in these next like series of matches. And it started off with Manabu Nakanishi chopping the shit out of me, and then it was Mike Barton. And then Scott Norton was the final boss, and, yeah, Scott's big old paw. I mean, I'm already purpled up pretty good. And he just broke the skin on my chest with a couple big old ham-fisted ham-hock chops.
Oh, yeah.
And I wear my badge of honor with pride, but Jesus, did it suck. The one thing, especially, though, when these kids want to get into these chop fests, I feel like, okay, now it's just open war. Like, all right, I get to chop and overhand slap the ever-living shit out of you, and you can do the same to me, and we'll just see who wants to keep going with this crap. The other thing is, if it's a fucking cold venue and you chop me, I'm kicking you for real.
Mm. Receipts, bro?
Oh,
yeah.
Sucks.
Do you have a little more respect since you are a legit MMA fighter where guys won't work stiff with you because they know that you could legit kick their ass?
No, I hope. Actually, I want guys to work more towards the stiff side with me because I feel like as long as you're not reckless, like it looks better, feels better, yeah. And doesn't bother me at all. And my whole thing is to present the best match and to give that contest and to really go to war out there with someone in one way or the other and get people into it and tell that story. All the other stuff, I think, is like all superfluous. If it doesn't work with that, then I feel like it's just kind of a waste of time. It's just like you're just watching some like random dudes with like there's some guy, you know, drumming on a bucket in the street and dudes are doing backflips over random passerbys. It's like, well, I can just see that anywhere.
Right.
To kind of piggyback on what you said, there's a lot of MMA guys joining the pro wrestling world. You know, mm-hmm. We saw, like you mentioned, Junior Dos Santos and everything. And right now, currently, if you look at WWE, you got Lashley and Brock are on the main picture and Riddle. But I've talked to a lot of a lot of pro wrestlers that don't want to do MMA. I always found that super interesting.
Like actually train in it or compete in it?
Compete.
Well, I think some of that comes from the fact that these guys have probably been doing pro wrestling as long as they have. And even if they had a combat sport background, they've moved away from it likely for a long time. Because there's I would say it's an issue. But, you know, I'd be willing to argue with somebody about this in a friendly way that most people in wrestling have zero combat sports training at all. Like the pro wrestling training, it has no wrestling in it. And so you're knowing that you're just so removed from it anymore. And if you're a touring guy or you're out on the road all the time, it's tough to also make the decision to go and train, especially if you haven't been, to go train legitimately and potentially get banged up or hurt or whatever, and then now not be able to do the thing that makes you money. So I can understand all these other limiting factors. But it's the difference between going out there and working a show and someone and making a little bit, knowing you're going to make this guaranteed money versus the more of the unknown aspect of MMA. And so it's can be disconcerting to put yourself in a position where it's the guarantees really aren't there, you know? So, I mean, yeah. But in comedy, now you'll get like a fee for going up on a mic.
Wouldn't know that.
I mean, you might get a fee, right?
I mean, if it's got the words Jeff Ross Presents in front of it, probably not. Oh, sorry. I broke kayfabe. Sorry. Sorry. Roast Battle's great. It's upstairs in an hour. Well, you're right. There are guaranteed fees, and then there's more riskier gigs where it's a tip jar.
Yeah.
And you could make $500. But if you're not doing very well or the crowd's light, you know, you might not make $20.
Mm-hmm. And there, of course, there's always a benefit to say, if you know you're going to get a mic opportunity somewhere and you're only going to get $50 or $100 or whatever, right? I think also a lot of, just like people don't necessarily understand the business of professional wrestling from the outside looking in, which I don't blame them. It's not their job to know that. I don't think people understand comedy. And comedy, it has, again, these overlaps with fighting, wrestling. Like, so there'll be this stuff where, okay, yeah, well, there's 20 people going up tonight. You think there's going to be a ton of money in that bucket for all those people? If you're willing to do it in a place where you think you'll get more exposure for it, then you're like, you're trading these things off. So if you're going to go off and fight an MMA fight, but you're going to do one where you don't feel like it could be a detriment if it's going to be too big. Hmm. Right now, this guy's like, oh crap. You know, if I go out and lose and this is my first foray, that's going to look horrible on me, and this could also negatively impact my professional wrestling career. versus maybe doing it somewhere where it's less noticeable and they can be a bit more comfortable with that. Because in my opinion, and I would argue with anybody about it, regardless of how anyone wants to frame professional wrestling as, they want to say it's worked or predetermined or anything like that, and that it doesn't matter who wins and loses, like, that's bullshit. Because just at our core, we realize that we're watching a struggle, and we do keep track of who wins and loses. And it matters, and our perception of these things and who's winning and losing. And we watch a match to see who's going to win or lose at the end of the day. You know, they don't call it a finish for no reason. It's not like they get up there, take a bow, and fucking leave. You know, right. Somebody gets pinned or someone gets submitted or knocked out. So winning and losing absolutely does matter. Even if you say nothing about it, you're not keeping records, it won't matter. Everyone that was there watched him, and the results go up on who wins. And it's not just a formality. And so I understand how this sort of thing can play into whether or not a wrestler would want to get into MMA or not. And I think maybe number one is the concern. The general concern, I think, is like getting hurt and then not being able to work. Whereas most of the time with wrestling, even if you get hurt, you kind of work around it. But, you know, you bang your knee up in a fight and or even in a wrestling match and try to go into a fight. And this guy's like, oh, cool. So that's the leg I'm going to heel hook.
Right.
Yeah. As soon as they see that wrap around that knee, that's the target.
That's why I just put it around my crotch.
Hey, you're lucky enough to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and, well, Chuck Congo.
So tell me if you had, you know, dream opponents that are currently working and a dream opponent that, like, is no longer working that you haven't faced.
You can say me.
And it could be Earl, yeah.
I'm just saying you can say.
Or any comedian.
I don't have enough oil to work Earl.
No, you know, I'm
working
it.
On it, yeah.
He might.
But I'll start with the aren't working. It would be Volkan, it would be Nobuhiko Takada, it would be Akira Maeda and Antonio Inoki, people like that, and Billy Robinson and Carl Gotch. I mean, so basically looking towards my
all
teachers,
the mentors,
yeah, to some degree. Although I never got the chance to like mentor under Takada or Maeda, really. I've met Maeda and he's taught me some things and he's great. He's a genius at combat sports and wrestling, but. People that are still alive that I haven't worked and is still working. I want to run one back with Yuji Nagata. I want to run one back with Kiyoshi Tamura. I'd really love to work Bill. You know, I'd love to get in the ring with Bill because that dude is a strong as shit, like beast of a man. I would just love to see how that'd go out.
You think he'd ever do a blood sport with you? I don't know. I mean,
I mean, to go from wrestling in front of tens of thousands of people to go to wrestling in front of tens of people. I mean, we do better than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are incredibly small scale in compared to the stuff that he's used to. So, I mean, hell, if he ever wants to, you know, my door is open. But
you heard it here first, guys. Bloodsport 9.
You heard it here first. Yes. Just like when Killer Cross said he wanted to fight Dave Bautista in Bloodsport. It is just as likely to happen as that.
Oh, boy. I didn't know. I didn't hear that one.
He cut a promo on Bloodsport, too.
Oh, okay.
Like,
good luck.
I could call him, but I don't think he's going to do it.
How about Killer Cross coming back now that he's a free agent? You think he'll show up at an 8 or 9 or something like that?
Could be. You know, I would like to think that we were part of what got him launched into the WWE. And you can call it vanity or just circumstance, whatever. But we've had a lot of people come from our ring, show up there, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're in AEW or boom, they're in NXT or WWE or New Japan. So, and I really do believe that our show is easily one of the best platforms for professional wrestlers. I think we do one of the best shows out there in the industry, as you should if you're producing it. But I also really truly feel that we give a look that you can't get anywhere else, and because it's so stripped down, I feel like it is a great way for, if you are a talent scout for one of these other organizations, I feel like you're getting get a look more at who that person really is, what they can do without all the help of everything else, without like crap tons of production and walkouts and Titantrons and all this, like, everything, glitz and glamour and big fancy gimmicks and mic performances and everything, every exterior thing that you can do outside of wrestling to get over in wrestling.
Yeah.
When you're in blood sport, the only thing you can do is wrestle and be in that ring and tell that story. So I think, in my opinion, it gives these other scouts that might be out there that are looking to pick up talent from the indie leagues, it's like, oh, well, I know what that guy can do, or I know what that girl can do. I can really see who they are. Like, what is it that comes off of them that makes it's going to draw me in? Besides, you know, Drakkar Noir.
I have a bottle of that.
Go bad.
No,
just
I
wait for it to come back in style.
I don't usually do this in public, but since you're such a good guy,
right.
Molecule 01.
Oh,
you'll get laid more than all five Backstreet Boys if you slap that on.
What am I having sex with? I mean, that sounds like the kind of thing that might get you in trouble.
Yeah. Maybe a Major Guns. Is she back in the game?
No, I don't know.
Major Guns?
She
Major.
Was,
has she been promoted yet?
Toward the tail end of WCW, she walked out with the No Limit Soldiers, which was Master P's. That was when, like, WCW was, it's over, Johnny.
She made him say,
Well, can I ask you this? I still like to believe wrestling is real.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I know it's
a work.
It's a work, but still, the stunts and the choreography, those guys and girls.
Wrestling
do,
is real. Wrestling is not fake.
I don't mean it fake. I mean it's predetermined. I still know that.
Yeah.
Is it hard for, say, like when Ronda Rousey got her ass kicked twice in the UFC, lost her last two fights, then what am I, Shaq doing a Cole read? to then portray her as this ass kicker in the world of pro wrestling when people are going to go, well, she just lost her last two real fights.
Sure. Well, I mean, you can lose a fight, but that doesn't diminish whether you can kick ass or not.
Right.
You know, Mirko Krokop didn't have the greatest UFC career ever, but that dude, in my opinion, is one of the greatest of all time. And no hiccups are going to sway that away. It's like you can catch someone at a certain period or at a certain time, and that's fine. Maybe at that moment they weren't their best, or maybe it was towards the tail end of their career, but that doesn't make them at their peak any less capable or high level. And with Ronda Rousey, it's one thing to be fighting with the opponents in the UFC at that point, but you could easily say that she'd never competed against those in the WWE. And so it's a whole new roster of people to match up against. And, you know, eventually someone got the better of her too. And it was a hell of a struggle to do so. And she comported herself well. But I think at the end of the day, you know, she's an ex-two promotion champion coming into the WWE. And so if the top guy from New Japan Pro Wrestling shows up, and he's IWGP champ, he's going to be in there kicking ass and taking names too. The top guy from NOAH, if it's the GCW champ, they're going to be in there fighting tooth and nail with folks, because to be the champion means that you have to be operating at this high level. And you know, all my blood sport athletes have done well wherever they've gone, you know. And I feel like part of that is because of the intensity that it takes to be in my event and in that ring, and the training to prepare yourself for it. It makes you capable of stepping into any ring anywhere.
Yeah, and I think it actually helps even established legends, man. Like Mox, for example. I always respected Mox. I thought he was, you know, great and everything he's done. But when I saw him at Bloodsport, I'm like, this is a whole other level. You know what I mean? Rocky Romero, another fucking legend.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once he stepped in there, I'm like, oh, new level.
Well, I love using my show to showcase people, especially in ways that you wouldn't be expecting, like Santino Marella, right?
He's great.
But, you know, it's like you're not going to be in there as Santino Marella. You're going to be in, you know, as Anthony. You're going to be yourself, Anthony Carelli. And he kicked ass. He did. And it's just like, yeah, I know you guys have heard about or read about on the internet how he has a judo background, but watch. This guy can really go. Or having Mox in there, like you mentioned, you know, who was already huge and over, but to get to allow a different side of him to be seen. And you can never expect that just because you've been seen and looked over well one place that you're not going to go somewhere else. And maybe someone really isn't that familiar with you. You just never know. You never know. And so I'd like to think that there might be segments of people that, even if it's someone that's more notable, like a John Moxley, but if seen in this environment, there's got to be people out there that have never considered him the same way. And I would say, you know, getting victories over Davey Boy Smith Jr., Chris Dickinson, and, you know, splitting me open in our match.
That was a brutal match.
It's I think it's pretty hard to deny that the guy is there to kick ass. He's there to put it all on the line, you know?
Yep. Well, we're getting to the Comedy Store light, but...
Well, that's too bad.
That's too bad.
I got more questions. Can I be a manager for one of your fighters in Bloodsport 8? I'll do it for free.
It's a lot to manage, you know. It's a lot to manage.
Yeah, but I'd get the heat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really... We have so much heat and shine and all that kind of stuff in our show.
Well, you'll get it when I show up.
I have no doubt. As soon as you're there, you know.
Throwing it out there.
Ross is just going to be out in the audience just like...
What a good-looking guy he is, boy, I tell you.
Well, so tell us a little bit. Bloodsport 8, where is it happening? When is it happening? Where can people find tickets and all that stuff?
We don't have tickets for sale yet. It is happening in Dallas, Texas at the Collective. March 31st, Thursday at 3 p.m. So, you know, you can do a little day drinking if you want.
Ooh.
Come on in. Or you can save it for afterwards after your mind's been blown, either way.
Yeah. Do you have any, you haven't announced any of the matches or any wrestlers or anybody that's going
to
be there?
I have not. And I don't know when we're going to get around to doing that. But you can best believe that I've already been in feverish work trying to put together the card, you know, burning the midnight oil, sitting around and soiled underwear at my computer desk, you know, typing away furiously and chain smoking. You know.
Well, it's guaranteed to be an awesome card. I mean,
Earl's sold.
Why don't we have that as a podcast? It's a waste of time in here.
Yeah, man, I was at the last Bloodsport, you know, seeing Suzuki and your boy Dickinson go at it, and it's just it's an experience to be seen. I don't think anyone here that's watching this show or watching wrestling should miss it at all.
Well, if you're interested to see what we've been talking about, you can catch, I believe, all of the Bloodsport, Josh Barnett Bloodsports on Fight TV and order them. And once you have them, they're in your library for as long as you have your account. So if you want to go back and keep watching them, what have you, and up to you. But I know that we've put out some really great stuff out there. We've had 8 cards so far. Filled full of some of the top dudes from all around the world and top women from all around the world.
Absolutely.
Can I ask one fast question?
Fast,
I know we're getting the light, but I've run the light
speedy
more times than Rondi King that night. I mean, I'm just saying, if he would have stopped, that wouldn't have been a problem. but he got $2.1 million from Larry Parker, so it all worked out. How many tapes of fighters do you get, and what do you look for someone watching this maybe wanting to be in Bloodsport 9? Do you look for anything in particular, or is it like just something grabs you?
I wanted to be irreverent about this, but actually I get a lot of people sending in basically applications. Hey, take a look at me and what have you. And honestly, I'm just looking for skill. I'm looking for I'm looking if they have that thing. And it just sounds like such a cop-out answer, but I feel like you could have 5 guys all tell the same joke, but that not all 5 guys are going to make it funny.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing here, you know, trying to find how that person accentuates who they are, what their skill sets are, and whether or not that they can really pull me into what they're doing and make me believe it. Make me believe that there are that level, that they've got that kind of skill set, they've got that kind of intensity, and they've got those kind of guts that when they go out there in that ring, that people are never going to walk away thinking, oh, that guy, you know, whatever, he's mediocre or she sucks or whatever. But instead, I want them to think like, whatever happened, holy shit.
Right.
That person is not to be trifled with, like right. Earl Skakel.
Yeah, if you're watching,
do
guys,
not trifle with Earl Skakel.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking to revive the Kamala gimmick with both legs.
Oh,
man.
Shout out to WWE for taking care of their own.
Yeah. Lots of good work there. Well, Josh, dude, Warmaster, thank you so much for your time.
I'm just really worried about my glucose levels now.
You should. Tell me that. We'll just get Warrior to give some of his old syringes.
Ooh. Check this out, guys. Those that are watching, we have this Deadpool comic with Josh Barnett on the cover. He just signed it. We're going to figure out how we're going to give this away for everyone. But it's going to come with, you know, we're going to need you to do some following and some liking and
variant
stuff.
Cover by my buddy Dave Johnson.
Yeah.
Give it away. I'm going to take it.
Fight Earl for it.
Spooge on it.
Maybe that could be Bloodsport 9. The first match has already been signed. Me against whoever wants that.
Put this on a ladder match. Put it up top and somebody can grab it.
I like this. Or we could put it at like the bottom of a dumpster.
Whatever, man. The WWE's had worse.
Oh, shit, man. Well, hey. Thanks again, Josh.
Good to be here.
Welcome back, everyone. This is a segment we are calling The Outsiders, like the Wolfpack and the, you know, all the good NWO stuff. We are here with our friend Jetski Johnson. Door person.
You got to be careful these days.
Right.
Door check.
I think the point of this segment is actually to bring someone in who's not familiar with pro wrestling and show them some cool clips that we have, you know, pulled up here and try and see if we can convince them to get into pro wrestling. Jetski, you don't watch wrestling at all.
No, I've never heard of it until today.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what? So no, if I were to ask you to name three famous pro wrestlers, could you?
I think I could.
Like
The Rock.
Outside, okay, I was going to say, let me rephrase the question. You can't name Hulk Hogan,
Damn
The
it.
Rock, or John Cena.
None of the Hollywood guys.
Three.
Oh, okay. Like, I will give you $100 right now, and everyone knows I'm the richest guy up at the Comedy Store other than Russell Peters.
I mean, your leather pants say so.
I mean, custom $1,800 from Brooke Worrell. I'll get you your info. I'll give you $100 right now if you could tell me who this guy is. Now, don't look
Ron
at
Braun Strowman.
Well, you'd be wrong.
Wrong? That's not Braun.
Oh, and don't say Shinsei Nakamura either.
Is he
SmackDown? Or?
His name is SmackDown. His name is SmackDown February 21st.
Wow, what a name.
We actually have a question, a producer question, that was sent to us here. And the question is for you, Jetski. It's, if someone said, I want a wrestling match called The Royal Rumble, what do you think that would entail?
Just beating the shit out of the Queen.
Out of the Queen of England?
I'm obviously getting...
Yes, we bring in Queen Elizabeth and...
What a match, though, right?
It's a Bukkake scene.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But that was a humorous guess.
Yeah, sure. If anybody, well, you know...
I know Royal Rumble. Like, I've heard that before. It's a real popular fight.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a fight.
It's a fight.
Yeah.
It's a match where they bring in 30 wrestlers, you know, one at a time every 2 minutes. And then in order to, you know, eliminate someone, you have to throw them over the top rope and both feet have to touch the ground, which lends itself to some funny moments where people land on their hands and they try to get back in with their, you know, not touching the floor with their feet. But that is part of the rule.
That's kind of it's like potluck.
It's like potluck, but funny.
Yeah, we should run it like that, because if you're at 2 minutes and you still haven't got a laugh, it's just like, get out of there. You don't need to finish the three.
Well, when I used to host potluck, I would encourage people, hey, you don't have to do the full 3 minutes. If you're bombing 40 seconds in, the next 2 minutes ain't going to be any better, probably.
Don't torture yourself.
All right, so right here we have a match. We specially selected this one for you, Jetski, because you're a musician.
Yeah, I didn't know they played music in this.
Yeah, so this is called the Symphony of Destruction. This is the type of match that we're watching. Elias here is a hilarious wrestler. He usually gets the crowd all worked up by making fun of their local sports team or whatever, and plays a guitar, and they never let him finish the song. That was kind of the thing. They would interrupt him every time.
And he's playing acoustic.
Yeah.
And he's legit playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has an album on Spotify, like that kind of legit playing.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a real good album. It's just an album on Spotify.
But still an album.
Yeah.
But you would have thought electric.
Well, I mean, the album is so bad that 2 minutes after I uploaded it, I downloaded it right back to him. Keep it.
Oh, man. Well, you know, there is a wrestler.
Oh, there's Andrew Santino.
Yeah, there's Andrew Santino. I've actually tweeted that out. I'm like, Santino wrestling, great. And he actually, you know, replied about that. But So there is a wrestler that's going around with an electric guitar. His name is Rick Boogs. But that's what's going on. But anyway, the ring is surrounded by instruments.
Whoa.
And I think the point is to just use all of these instruments.
That's awesome.
During the match.
I actually like that a lot. Is there a trumpet?
There's a trumpet. There's a bassoon. There's a stand-up bass. Here's Braun Strowman. That's Braun Strowman. That's Sami Zayn. Shinsuke Nakamura. We got Cesaro over there. Look at that thing. It looks like a regular guitar in his hands.
And this is a Royal Rumble.
No.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
The...
I don't know. You set it up like that.
No. This is the Symphony of Destruction match. This is what we call it.
I thought it was a type of Rumble.
No. Rumble is only once. It just happened. We had Knoxville. Johnny Knoxville was on it. But yeah, this is what's going on. So when you think of pro wrestling, do you think of instruments?
No, but I think of theater.
You think of theater?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what do you think? What do you think is the first instrument that's going to be smashed over somebody's face right now? Take a guess. Hopefully not that ukulele. That doesn't seem very effective against somebody like
a
Braun.
Flute or something small.
I'm really obsessed on the flute.
Me? That's the first time I said it.
No, she said trumpet earlier.
Oh, sorry.
Because
my
that's
bad.
Her instrument
sounds
of choice.
Like you are.
You're a little obsessed with that.
God, I would love to see a flute up Elias's ass.
That's what I was picturing too, though.
So let me ask you, just by looking at these guys, not knowing anything about them, who do you think would win this match just from looks alone?
I mean, the biggest guy.
The biggest guy.
Not bad.
That guy. Oh, no, he just got out.
Nope, he's not winning this match. No, I'm just kidding. So this guy right here is a legitimate pro wrestler from Japan. He's like a martial artist as well. But yet somehow we're relegated to using instruments.
So is this all real or is this choreographed? And they're like, I know it's real, but are they kind of choreographing it and leaning into it?
So what they do, and I've explained it for someone who doesn't really watch wrestling, they do call it in the ring. They don't sit backstage and write it out on a script or play, you know?
Okay.
They're calling it in there. So you'll see a lot of times when they grab each other, they'll kind of like whisper in each other's ears, sweet nothings.
Like how you guys are hosting this podcast?
Yeah, we'd be like, dude, she's horrible.
I'm going to get my trumpet. We're going to have a symphony of destruction.
Did you bring your trumpet?
No. I mean, it's in the parking lot.
She is an amazing comic, by the way.
Yes.
Okay, I won't.
Oh, we
you.
Got ads.
Okay, this is great. What do you think of this part of the match?
Yeah, this match.
Who's that wrestler?
That's a roast battle comic trying to Google their stand-up set.
Oh, man.
Which is real low in the search engine.
Verbo's a good punchline.
Oh, make sure to do your taxes, everyone.
Yes.
TurboTax.
Oh, here we go.
Damn.
We're back.
We got our first. There we go. Tambourine.
Tambourine. I would have never guessed.
Never guessed a tambourine. I would have put it around his neck and just. There we go. Yeah. I haven't seen this match in a while, so I didn't know that was actually going
to
happen. But
I've never seen it. To be honest,
you've never seen this.
This is a first timer for me as well.
Oh yes. So they called Shinsuke he's kind of like a rock star. This side right here. They call him a rock star. He does like a cool move on the way, and he's got an intro. But here we go. Look, we got a drum.
Oh, drum's gonna be good.
Drum will be good.
And are these gimmicked instruments?
I hope so.
I really hope so. Like, you think the drum heads are not real?
Not quite. You know, like when
they get a little cut. You know, they cut them. Right. Yeah, that went through him really easy. So I don't think that. I'm pretty sure that was gimmicked. Oh, look at that.
It didn't even break.
Do nothing.
So there are multiple symphonies of destruction?
Yeah, there's been a couple of these.
That's awesome.
There's been a couple of these. There's one that was just Braun and Elias alone. Oh, here we go. The choo-choo. At one point, they legitimately added a choo-choo sound when he started running around the ring like that.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was not funny. It's funny, but it's like it takes all seriousness of this.
What seriousness?
No, this is very serious. No, but I mean... How would you say 80% of that crowd thinks it's real?
Yeah, maybe.
So this is serious to the people in the front row who paid $500 a pop.
Look at the cowbell move.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really impressed with what they're doing for real, but it looks so fake to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little
like
over
he's
the top.
Waiting for it. He's like, please don't hit me. But well, I know they're really doing it, like.
Well, people are getting hurt. There's definitely some smacking and paint. Like, you know, he's going through
the
table.
Like,
that
he
hurts.
Really did fall
There's
through
There's nothing
table.
That's going to stop that from hurting.
And then there's always somebody like this guy in the green who's just there for comedic relief only, right?
Well, Sammy's like, that's what his role has become. He's actually a really good wrestler, but lately he's just the comedy relief kind of. He was, you know, really heavily involved with Knoxville and the Rumble and everything. He was at the Jackass premiere and got kicked out and that kind of thing. But yeah, this match is a complete ridiculous, over-the-top nonsense.
It's so funny watching this with no sound.
Yeah, we don't have sound in here.
The Symphony of Destruction.
Is there any way to get sound?
Are you attracted to any of these wrestlers? Let's say your boyfriend fell off a cliff.
There we go.
They're like,
yeah. If you were to be able to, you know, date any of them, which is your type? Are you more into like a, you know, the giant man with a beard, or?
I'm gonna guess Sami Zayn.
I'm confused by them because they're like strong and macho, but also doing theater. Wow. So it's like, I don't know.
Like, that had to hurt a little.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part of the ring.
I mean, that couldn't have felt good.
Oh, here we go. Here
I
we
feel
go.
Like these guys could all also be on Broadway.
Yeah.
I mean, they better.
Oh, here we go. Stand up bass. Let's see what he ends up doing with this one.
I mean, seeing this live would be fucking awesome.
That's what I'm saying. I think to convert you, we just need to get you at our live show.
Yeah. I mean, that would be so fun. Yeah.
Can we take her to a PWG show?
Absolutely.
What's PWG?
It's something that happens here locally. It's a show that happens at the Globe Theater, I think they're doing it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I would love to go.
Here we go. You think this will hurt?
Oh, yeah. Oh! Earl, you were wearing that last night.
I've worn all six of these outfits, to be honest with you. I'm into fashion comedy.
So if you were to attack somebody, what instrument would be your choice?
Probably a gun.
Musical instrument, come on.
Oh, sorry.
What the fuck?
We love doing impressions of Earl, like all the comics around him. We go, what the fuck? Oh,
Let's roast.
Yeah, that's our favorite impression.
Look, real blood.
Real blood, I mean.
Can't gimmick that.
A cymbal, I think a cymbal would be really good.
Cymbal, how about a tuba?
I mean, a tuba, yeah. But if it's Yamaha.
Oh, look, he's got a gong. That's not racist.
Right.
Yeah, why did he hit
why
the
did
gong?
The Japanese wrestler get to hit the gong?
Whoa, that was cool.
That was cool. Nice kick to the face.
And he's bleeding.
Oh, yeah.
Or is that a fake?
No, that's blood.
That's real.
Yeah. Here we go.
So it's getting more exciting.
It is getting more exciting. Now once they start using the instruments, that's when it gets exciting.
It's like a symphony.
That's a nice cut.
You're right. It is like a symphony. They're not, like, introducing themes anymore.
I want to know who gets smashed through the grand piano.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go.
Do the camera guys ever get hit?
Oh, absolutely.
They're
all
so
the time.
Close.
Absolutely.
Look at these guys.
Losers.
Those are $5,000 seats.
Yeah. It looks like they might be the parents of one of them. Oh, shit.
I feel bad for the cleanup crew.
Yeah.
Like, I spent too much time doing stage production. When I see shit like this, all I think about is the cleanup.
Yeah.
Who's dragging that grand piano around? I mean, it's not a real grand piano. It looks pretty small.
Oh, my God.
I think it's going to happen right now.
Right now, look at that. Through the table.
Oh, jeez.
Through the ball.
Oh, Jesus. That
did not break. Yeah, he hurt his head right on the edge of that grand piano, for sure. There it is. Grand piano was the grand finale.
Was that piano supposed to break?
I was hoping. I think it should. I think it was supposed to, for sure.
Yeah, look I don't it. Like look that
at, look
part.
These, look at that. That's all real right there.
That looks like, never mind.
There's blood on his hand, too. So,
I
yeah.
like the theater parts where it's fake.
You don't like the real blood?
No. But these guys are so big, it's hard to not get injured.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think, Jetski? You think you can get into pro wrestling?
I think I'd have a lot of fun at a live show, but I don't think I'll be going home and watching.
You're not
going
to watch SmackDown this weekend, this Friday?
Yeah, you're not going to watch Sting tomorrow night on AEW?
How do you even get started? There's so many players.
Yeah, there's also multiple multiple organizations that are doing it too. So
seems players. Like season players, 100 right? of wrestling players. What it, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
musicians.
Yeah, I mean WWE's Raw and SmackDown are like some of the longest running serial television shows. Yeah, it's a lot. Of, it's a lot to catch up on. If you
YouTube wanna. Would be good, I think, to show her older matches.
Yeah.
When it was almost borderline real, like. Yeah. I mean, this was very choreographed and
that looks real, though.
Well, it's real, but like you need there are matches from 20, 30 years ago where it looks like a real fight.
Yeah, they're just like punching each other in the face. Choreographed. Yeah, because like you said earlier in the match, you're like, oh, this looks fake. Like there before, it wasn't that fake. They weren't waiting around to get hit.
It's kind of funny, though, and exciting. Like, I like the theater aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's humorous.
It's like a soap opera for mainly dudes.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Pretty much. But the violence part I don't like.
Well, then there you go.
Sorry.
So out of all of these wrestlers, out of those names, pick one. Who's your favorite? You're going to have homework. You're going to go home and look up one of their matches.
Well, I think it was was it Elias with the guitar?
Yeah.
I think you would enjoy his
you
humor.
You need to watch his stuff. Yeah, his humor's great.
Because like a big guy like that walking out with an acoustic guitar, which is funny to me.
Yeah, yeah. No, and he's funny as hell on the mic. So I definitely recommend you look up Elias. When you go home, just check out some of his clips, of his hot clips.
I'll promise you that.
Because he roasts whatever city they're in, and it's pretty funny that the crowd ends up hating him.
Oh my God, he always roasts every city and the people that are and obviously the wrestler he's fighting, he roasts them too.
He plays.
I kind of miss him. He hasn't been on TV in a while.
Well, I heard they're taking away his music character, so
Elias is dead.
Repackaging the, which I think is a mistake. But lame. What do I know? I just work here.
Yeah. Well, Jetski, I'm going to end this segment with teaching you the two sweet hand gesture, which is from The Outsiders. When you go like this, it's kind of like the metal symbol, but you point out your fingers.
Okay, I got it.
So, yeah, that's a two sweet. So, two sweet, Jetski. Thank you for joining
us.
Thank
you, Jetski.
Everyone
at home. Thank you, guys.
Check out Jetski. Where do they find your stuff?
At Jetski Johnson.
On all the things?
On all the things.
And when are you in San Dimas?
On February 19th.
February 19th. Catcher in San Dimas. Any other dates?
Every Wednesday here at the Comedy Store.
Every Wednesday.
Me in the belly room.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And yeah, follow her. She just did a photo shoot with, what was it that you did?
Whitney Cummings.
Whitney Cummings
merch
clothing
line.
Yeah. You're coming up in the world.
Photo shoot.
Hey, whatever. You know. Hey.
It was really fun, actually.
Stay in touch with her.
Yeah.
We used to do open mics together, and I never followed up.
You should hit her up.
I'm doing a wrestling podcast.
Hell yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Too sweet.
Oh, she got the wolf pack. Oh, that's improv there.
Thank you so much for watching and sticking around to the end. I hope you enjoyed Josh Barnett and Jetski Johnson's appearances. We are going to keep trying to bring you the best guests, the best comedy and wrestling combined. Who knows where this goes? We may have live shows. We may go and do wrestling somewhere. We may wrestle each other and covered in oil. Who knows? But Earl, where can they find you?
Or this might be the last episode.
This might be the last episode.
A lot of pilots get made in this town. You never see the light of day. I'm very easy to find online. I'm at Earl Skakel, EARLSKAKEL, on every conceivable website, including TikTok. And I have the Inappropriate Earl podcast, which is not necessarily wrestling-based, but Roddy Piper's been on it. Virgil talking about how big his dick is. Chavo Guerrero Jr., Briley Nemeth, Dolph Ziggler's brother, and Don Fry. So it's a little something for everyone.
Excellent, man. Excellent. And you can find me at RRBG Podcast. I do a lot of interviews with wrestlers as well. I've had Jeff Cobb, Chris Dickinson, Rocky Romero, Josh Barnett, who was here tonight, and also musicians like System of a Down, Nine Inch Nails, Marilyn Manson, all kinds of names that, aren't canceled. You can check them out on my podcast. Also, if you want to keep up with the show for now, just go and follow at Comedy Store Records on Instagram. It'll have everything will be on there for now. We'll eventually get our own socials if we don't get canceled on episode 1. And thank you guys for watching.